Stop off! Let's go!
Stomp off, let's go. That was Bob Cosby and his orchestra from 1939. Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. Today, on this episode of the Jazz Treasury, we look at the Dixieland Band. I call it Dixieland and Swing Band, and the music of Bob Crosby. And the first track we just heard was Stump Off, Let's Go. And that featured Bob Crosby and his orchestra. Bob Crosby is the director of the band. Zeke Zarge, Billy Butterfield, and Sterling Bose on trumpets. Jimmy Emmert, Warren Smith on trombone. Irving Fazola on clarinet. Matty Matlock, Jack Farrar on clarinet and alto. Eddie Miller on clarinet and tenor. Gil Rodden on tenor. Bob Zirk on piano, Nappy Lamar playing guitar, I like that, Bob Haggard on bass, and Ray Baudick on the drums. January 23rd, 1939 in New York City. And Stomp Off, Let's Go. This number was the band's theme tune for some time and was adopted by British trumpeter, author, and researcher John Chilton as the title of his excellent book, which remains the standard work on the story of the Bob Crosby Orchestra and the Bobcats. So check that out. The book is called Stomp Off, Let's Go. Who was Bob Crosby? The life of Bob Crosby himself is only part of the story of his famous band. His stellar collection of musicians and their dedication to playing in a big band Dixieland style goes back before his involvement to a time when many of the same players were part of the highly successful orchestra led by drummer and singer Ben Pollack. After a walkout prompted by Pollack's liaison with singer Doris Robbins, the band regrouped, held together by its business-wise saxophonist Gil Rodin. Run as a cooperative unit, the band bought in Bing Crosby's younger brother as its frontman and quickly became one of the most popular and enduring orchestras of the swing era. Bob Crosby is Bing Crosby's brother. So let's listen in. Another example of Bob Crosby's work, The Big Noise from Winnetka. And this sounds like a little improvisation to me, The Big Noise from Winnetka. And this is just two people, Bob Haggard on bass and whistling, and Ray Bodick on drums, Chicago, 1938. Let's listen to The Big Noise from Winnetka. Big Noise from Winnetka, recorded in 1938 in Chicago, the high spot of the Bobcat stage show, used to be this duo between bassist Haggard and drummer Bodick. Haggard made a number of discs featuring his whistling, including a swipe at critic Leonard Feather called Featherbird. But this is his best effort as he plays a bass line and whistles a counter melody over the top. The strange humming noise on the bass from halfway through is created by Bodick playing on the bass strings with his drumsticks. Bob Crosby was the youngest of the seven children of Harry and Kate Crosby. When he was born on August 25, 1913, the family had settled in Spokane, Washington, where Harry was an accountant for a canning company. Despite some financial ups and downs, he managed a conventional middle-class upbringing for his large family. His two youngest sons showed an interest in show business. Bing, born in 1903, was already playing drums and singing in and around his hometown before Bob started school. And by the time Bob was in his teens and showing promise both as an athlete and a singer, Bing was becoming quite well known and went on to join the Paul Whiteman Band as part of a vocal trio. Other band leaders were keen to cash in on the Crosby phenomenon, and the story goes that Anson Weeks, a dance band leader in San Francisco, asked Bing one night if there were any more singers like him at home in Spokane. And when Bing mentioned his kid brother, Weeks hired Bob without even managing to hear him first. And after a nervous beginning, the younger Crosby's career was underway. Okay, let's listen to another track. How about we listen to South Rampart Street Parade? And South Rampart Street Parade was recorded in Los Angeles in 1937, and it features Bob Crosby and his orchestra once again, Bob directing, Charlie Spivak and Billy Butterfield, Yank Lawson here on trumpet, Ward Soloway, Warren Smith on trombone, Matty Matlock on clarinet and alto, Eddie Miller on clarinet and tenor, Joe Kearns on alto, Gil Rodden on tenor, Bob Zirk on piano, Nabi Lamar once again on guitar, Bob Haggard, and Ray Baudick. Let's listen to South Rampart Street Parade on the Jazz Treasury.
Listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Okay, South Rampart Street Parade. This is a brilliant copy of the style of a New Orleans parade band number much beloved of Jelly Roll Morton and Sidney Bechet, with a sequence of different themes or strains separated by elaborate bridge passages in the style of a military march. Well, a gentleman named Tommy Rockwell helped Bobby once again. He and his partner, Cork O'Keefe, introduced Crosby to saxophonist Gil Rodden, who was organizing a band of ex-Ben Pollock sidemen. Rodden was the leader, handling the business and setting the musical policy, but was a shrewd enough businessman to know that the band, although packed with excellent musicians, needed a high-profile frontman to succeed. The band had been set up as a cooperative, Although star soloists and musicians who doubled as arrangers were paid slightly more, the financial rewards were far more evenly distributed than was generally the case for a band fronted by a name, Star. If Crosby agreed to front the band, he would share neither the usual privileges nor the rewards of leadership, taking only a fixed share of the band's income. All Rodden could offer was the chance of making his name. Another track on the Jazz Treasury. Let's listen to March of the Bobcats. Now, this one features that core band of the Bobcats and recorded in 1938 in New York City. Bob Crosby's Bobcats, Yank Lawson on trumpet, Warren Smith on trombone, Irving Fazola on clarinet, Eddie Miller on tenor, Bob Zirk on piano, Nappy Lamar on guitar, Bob Haggard on bass, and Ray Boddick on the drums. Let's listen to March of the Bobcats on the Jazz Treasury. March of the Bobcats, based on Maryland, My Maryland, better known in Europe as The Red Flag, this is one of the multi-part march compositions that the Crosby Band used to evoke New Orleans street parades. Lawson plays the traditional bugle call figures over the counter melody in the middle. There's a soaring chorus from Fazola and an urgent swinging one from Miller, before the band ensemble in which the swaying rhythms of the brass over Boddick's churning beat capture the second line atmosphere to perfection. March of the Bobcats. The talented former drummer of the New Orleans Rhythm Kings, Chicagoan Ben Pollock, had formed his own band in 1926. He had a strong grasp of the Dixieland style, and through his apprenticeship with the Rhythm Kings, had picked up the essentials of jazz playing from some of the greatest white pioneers of the music. So, the band put together called Bob Crosby's Orchestra was opened. They opened at the Roseland Ballroom in New York in June 1935 with all the star sidemen from Pollock's band in the ranks. They were joined by the band's future chief arranger, bassist Bob Haggard, and saxophonist Dean Kincaid. With Matty Matlock, they put together a new book of arrangements. And when the band signed to the Decca label, all the signs were there that it would continue to record material that was unrepresentative of its live sound, because the company was unsure how this particular brand of Dixieland would sell. Fortunately, and a tale familiar to many bands who had something new and different to play, but were not allowed to play it on disc, a trade-off was arranged. In return for backing Connie Boswell, the band got to cut two of Haggard's most characteristic charts, Dixieland, including Dixieland Shuffle, and from that point on, a regular sprinkling of Dixieland classics were recorded along with the endless ballads for Bob and the Sessions with other singers, including the young Judy Garland. Okay, let's move on. We're going to listen to I'm Prayin' Humble, a traditional arranged by Haggard. And this is Bob Crosby and his orchestra once again, 1938. And we've heard all the personnel, so let's get right into listening to I'm Prayin' Humble on the Jazz Treasury. I'm Prayin' Humble, one of the best known of the Crosby Orchestra's pieces. This later became a regular part of the repertoire of the various aggregations co-led by Lawson and Haggard. It surfaced after the demise of the Bob Crosby Orchestra, the world's greatest jazz band, among others, kept the tune alive in the hands of its creators for another half century. The Crosby Band was based on the West Coast in 1941. It continued to work after war had broken out, playing ballrooms and appearing in films. In due course, however, its members began to be drafted. While Ray Bodick and Gil Rodin enlisted, a final tour was arranged for late 1942, and the band set out to make as much money as possible for the cooperative before it folded. And Bob himself decided on a film career and signed a contract for 1943, but did not find time for a brief tour early in the year with those of his sidemen who had not been drafted. This was the last appearance of the Crosby Band. So the Bob Crosby Orchestra only existed between 1935 and 1942, although there were many reunions. In its heyday, it carved out a niche for itself as the band that kept the Dixieland style alive throughout the swing era. So, in summary, on this episode of the Jazz Treasury, we've been listening to the music of Bob Crosby and his Dixieland Orchestra. New Orleans jazz underpinned everything Bob Crosby's bands played. The rhythm section anchored by Ray Bodick, with fellow New Orleans Nappy Lamar, with a driving forward momentum coupled with the dancing street beat of New Orleans parades and carnivals. Crosby hired a succession of the best lead trumpeters in the business, including Yank Lawson, Muggsy Spinyar, and Billy Butterfield. The earthy counterpart to the main melody was punched out by a succession of fine trombonists, and the final magical ingredient was an artful choice of reed players, selected by Gil Rodden, who himself made up part of the section, Matty Matlock, Eddie Miller, and above all, clarinetist Irving Fazola. Produced their finest work during the Crosby years and gave the band exactly the right mixture of hard-swinging fire and delicate ornament to conjure up the sun-drenched levees and wrought-iron balconies of the home of jazz. Well, that's all for this episode of the Jazz Treasury. Once again, my name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for tuning in. And please check our Facebook page out, the Jazz Treasury Podcast. Give us a like, give us a share, give us some comments or feedback. We'd appreciate if you spread the word and help keep the flame of jazz alive. And up next on the Jazz Treasury, we have a special holiday episode. On the next edition of the Jazz Treasury, we have a holiday special, Swing Celebration. For most of its history, jazz has been party music, from when it was played at New Orleans parties, picnics, and parades at the turn of the century, to its heyday in the 1930s and 40s, as music to move to in dance halls and nightclubs across the land. Although the musicians and singers, like Billie Holiday, were not always cheerful, fun-loving folk themselves, they certainly delivered the goods for all kinds of celebratory occasions, from Christmas and New Year to birthday and anniversaries. So next time on the Jazz Treasury, Swing Celebration. Until then, enjoy the jazz, and thanks for listening.